Jeremiah 25. This chapter contains the celebrated prophecy of the 70 years captivity in Babylon, and is most carefully dated as in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. It is connected with the beginning of those times of the Gentiles, of which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in his prophecy at the end of the age, in Luke 21, and which we have the happiness of knowing are now drawing to a final close. In this connection, Jeremiah also repeats the dates of his own prophesying. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year. So there is no mistake about the date. It is everywhere recognized as a turning point in the history, not only of Israel, but of the whole world. For here begins the history of the four great empires: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. A history that is so special a matter of revelation by the prophet Daniel with relation to the kingdom of God, which is the final objective of the purpose of God upon the earth. We have already in the notes on chapter 21 alluded to the spelling of the name Nebuchadrezzar, found also in this place as being a more correct transliteration of the name from the cuneiform, and as testifying to the accuracy of the book of Jeremiah. Of course, Nebuchadrezzar was not the first king of Babylon, but it so happens that accurate chronology begins with the first king of Babylon, for the era of Nabonassar, February the 26th, BC 747, is connected with certain astronomical observations given by Ptolemy. See, for instance, Grattan Guinness's Light for the Last Days, so that from that time, God has given us an accurate measuring line that reaches down to our own time and beyond. On the mention of the 13th year of Josiah, the Cambridge Bible has the following note: Josiah reigned 31 years, and it is in the 13th year of that reign that Jeremiah was called. He therefore prophesied for 18 or 19 years in that reign. To this we are to add the reign of Jehoahaz, which was 3 months, and more than 3 years of Jehoiakim. All these considerations show how important is the point of departure before us in this 25th chapter of Jeremiah. The same thought arises in verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. It is like the end of all things. The last page of the Hebrew Bible ends on that note. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by the messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets, until the wrath of God rose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees. It's in 2 Chronicles 36. A little earlier is the passage that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted in Matthew 23, verse 35, with reference to the end of the age with which he was contemporary. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them. Verse 9. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. This passage of Jeremiah is a very striking illustration of this Proverb 16. And no one recognized the truth of it more clearly than the Lord Jesus Christ, who, yielding to the sin power, said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." It is noted as a remarkable divine fact that this expression, "my servant," is equally applied to Moses, Joshua, Nebuchadrezzar, three times, and to Jesus. A great commission truly is indicated in each case, but how unspeakable is the difference between the mission and destiny of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and that of Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their own hands. The marginal reference here says of the 20 years, beginning circa 606, 2 Kings 24, ending circa 536, Ezra 1. This 606, as Grattan Guinness well remarks, is the first terminus a quo of the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, as is proved by the issue of the restoration decree of Cyrus 70 years later. Shortly afterwards, Nebuchadrezzar was told by God, through Daniel the prophet, what should come to pass hereafter. It's Daniel 2. Under this terrible phrase, the cup of wine of this fury, the word of God by the prophet delivers all the nations into the hand of the Babylonian conqueror. For thus saith the Lord thy God of Israel unto me, take the cup of the wine of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink of it. And they shall drink and reel to and fro and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. The madness of intoxication is a figure of divine punishment found throughout the scriptures. Thus in Jeremiah 49, Edom is condemned to drink of the cup, and in Lamentations 4, Jeremiah connects this judgment with the final pardon of Zion for all her sins, an idea which carries the matter forward to the restoration of Israel, for which we still wait. In chapter 51, Babylon herself is represented as a golden cup in the Lord's hand, making the nations mad, the figure being reproduced in Revelation 17 with reference to Roman Babylon. And the same figure is found in Revelation 14, where post-adventual divine judgment is foretold upon the whole system. Job 21, he says of the wicked, let him drink of the wrath of the Almighty. And in Isaiah 51, Jerusalem that had drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury is called upon to awake to righteousness and salvation. With reference to the all nations enumerated, it is to be observed that judgment begins at the house of God. Jerusalem and Judah stand first in the list. Then, as to the list of nations, into the details of which we need not enter particularly, it is to be noted that Egypt, the unprofitable ally of Judah, stands next. And that the list seems to be summarized in 2 Kings 24 in a way that connects with the original covenant of God with Abraham. Thus, the king of Egypt came not any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. In Genesis 15, the terms of the covenant are, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. It was as though God said to Judah, for your sakes the whole inheritance is given for a time into the hand of the enemy. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be ploughed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps. Micah 3. And so the wine of the wrath of God was given to all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the whole earth. And the word of God added, the king of Shishak shall drink after them. The name Shishak, as Jerome explains, is a cipher for Babel itself. The Revised Version margin tells us that it is, according to ancient tradition, a cipher for Babel. The following note in the speaker's commentary explains the matter. The oldest known cipher consisted simply in reversing the order of the alphabet, whence its name, Atbash, T, the last letter, being put for Aleph, SH, the next in reverse order for Beth, and so on. By carrying this process back, it will be found that Kaf equals CH takes the place of L, and then She-Shak becomes Bay-Bel. Another example is found in chapter 51, verse 1. Which may perhaps be touched upon in the future. That one was in verse 41. The conclusion of the chapter is certainly not exhausted in its application to the subjection of the nations to Nebuchadrezzar. The Lord shall roar from on high as a future and even more terrible application. See Joel 3, Amos 1, Isaiah 42. These prophecies are associated with the salvation of Israel in the latter days and the judgments upon another Babylon. The war of that great day of God Almighty is what is now impending. And the great war of 1914-1918 was only an earnest of this more terrible time to come.